This evening's reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 6, and starting to read at verse 47, and reading down to the end of the chapter. Reading from the New King James Version. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there were some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one comes to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Well, may God bless that portion of his word to our hearts this night. And as we look at it a little later, may he open to us the truths that we find in that word for his name's sake. Amen. In this passage that we read earlier from John's Gospel, chapter 6, it's a very important time has now arrived in the life of his chosen disciples. He talks to them about life, eternal life. He tells them that I am the bread of life. And some of the people can't understand what he's talking about. They're thinking still of the physical instead of the spiritual. They have seen the action of many who had followed Jesus. For what reason? Some had come to see Jesus as just a miracle worker. They'd followed him because of the miracles that he did. Marvelous and wonderful miracles as they were. But here we see that not only did they come for the miracles, but they came to hear him teach. No one taught like him. Do you remember how the Sanhedrin had sent soldiers to take Jesus? And they came back empty-handed and they said, "Where is he?" And they said, "Never a man spoke like this man." And when Jesus speaks to a person fully, there is one of two reactions. They can either reject it or they can accept it. And thanks be to God, many are accepting it in these days. But here is a crunch situation has arrived. He's telling them about eternal matters and they cannot understand it. Perhaps you've experienced something like that. Perhaps you've been coming and listening to God's word for years. We had a gentleman in the Isle of Man, John. He was a lovely Christian. When we got there, he was 99 years of age. And we had a party for him because people thought that perhaps he might not see 100. But he lived till he was 106. And it was a joy to go to his house and have fellowship with him. A lovely Christian. I said, "John, when did you become a Christian?" "I became a Christian when I was 14 years of age," he said. I said, "John, you've been a Christian more years than most people live." He said, "Yes, isn't it wonderful," he said. And until he was about 103, 104, every Sunday he was there morning and night, listening to God's word, drinking it in, and praising God in his life. You might think, well, 103, 104, what does he have? Well, he had the Savior in him because he loved him. And here Jesus is teaching the people that they must have eternal life. John knew where he was going. He said, "I don't care if I live another year or so," he said, "because I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with my Savior." And I wonder tonight, is that you? Are you in that situation where you realize that if anything should happen to you, you could die this night? Will you be in eternity with Jesus, or will you be in eternity of hell? Because this is what the gospel is all about, that people would repent of their sins and turn to the only Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to do what no other could ever do, to pay the price of your sin and my sin. All the wrongs that we've ever done, wiped out. I told you this before when I preached here. I've told it in many churches. When I was a little boy, living in the valleys, my mother, perhaps on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, would say, "Look, I'm short of these foods. Can you go round to Mrs. Murray's shop and get them? Tell her to put it on the book." And I'd go round and I'd get the things from Mrs. Murray's. And she'd open a big ledger and she'd write down, "Mrs. Griffiths, 44 Grove Street, such and such a thing," and how much it was. And then she'd give me the goods. And when my father came home from work on a Friday, my mother'd give me some money and I'd go round to Mrs. Murray's But I was a shark. I'd look in the window to see if Mrs. Murray was there. If Mrs. Murray was there, I'd go in. If Mrs. Murray wasn't there, I wouldn't go in. I'd go round to my aunt's in the next street. But if Mrs. Murray was there, I'd go in and I'd give her money. And then she'd get that ledger and put it, open it up to where that she'd written it in. And in her ink, she would say, paid in full. She couldn't come round again and say, Mrs. Griffiths, you still owe me the money. But when she'd done that, she'd close the book. And then she'd go to a big jar and she'd give me a sweet. If her daughter or her son was there, they wouldn't do that and I wouldn't go in. But you see, paid in full. And Jesus is saying to these people, I have eternal life. I am going to pay the price for your sins. You've got to eat of my body and you've got to drink of my blood. But these are spiritual things I'm talking about, not fleshly things. Eternal life. We can't imagine. Somebody explained it to me once, what they thought was eternal life. How long it was that a big beach, miles long, and a bird would pick up a little sand of grain in its beak and transfer it over to the other side of the sea, plant it, and go back and pick it up until the whole beach on the one side was transferred to the other. And then they start going back again to the other side, and back again, and back again. You can't comprehend it. You can't understand it. You can't measure it. It's eternity. Jesus offers them this, and they can't understand it. And it says here that many of them went back and didn't follow him. And then he turns to the 12 and he says to them, do you also want to go away? And impetuous Peter answers for them, doesn't he? You know, he's the right character, is Peter, isn't he? He's the one who's always shooting up with his arm. He's the one who wants to do things. Remember when they were in Caesarea Philippi? Jesus said, who do men think that I am? And they said, some think you are John the Baptist, come again, back to life again. Some think you are one of the prophets, or the prophet, or Elijah. And Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is what he says here. Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Do you know, if you want to talk to someone who doesn't know about Jesus, turn to this and say, listen to this simple so-called fisherman. And he turns, he says, you have the words of eternal life. Do you know, that's the wonder of the gospel. Is that Jesus has the words of eternal life to teach us and to bring us into a relationship with him. I wonder tonight, have you got this relationship? Do you know him? Perhaps you've been a Christian for many years. Oh, we thank God for that wonderful, wonderful day when you came to Jesus to know him as Lord and Savior. But if you're not a Christian here tonight, then seek him. Come to know him. Open your heart to him, that you might receive him. He that cometh unto me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, says Peter, you have the words of eternal life. Wow, that is important. He is saying that Jesus is the one that we can turn to. He says, we can't go anywhere else. Nothing else has got anything like this. But you have the words of eternal life. You can give us life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, You were the expectant one. You were the one who all the prophets have been telling us down the centuries will come. You are the one, the Redeemer, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And you know, Jesus says to them, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You know, there's nothing in us physically that Jesus could see anything. We are nothing. Why should he choose us? I am nothing. I'm no politician. I'm no film star. I'm no great football player. Although I love watching. But sad to say, we lost yesterday. But there we are. Can't be helped. I'm not somebody of importance. I'm just a boy from the valleys. But God opened my eyes to see when I was a young 21-year-old, they saw that Jesus died on that cross at Calvary for me. And you know, I took Jesus at his word. I have eternal life, and I give it unto you as a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do something for it. That, as I said this morning, that young man that came to Jesus said, what can I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus gave him six of the commandments. He says, these, do these. He said, I've done all those. What else do I need to do? Oh, says Jesus. And as I said this morning, I love what Mark says. Jesus looks at him and loves him. He looks at you and he looks at me and he says, I love you. I give my life for you. But he goes away sad because Jesus tells him, go home, give all that you've got away to the poor and come, take up the cross, follow me. And he goes away sad because he had great riches. He loved his riches more than he loved God. And here's Peter, fisherman, probably not very educated. Remember when they were... after Jesus had gone to heaven and how the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to them and they preached the gospel and how the leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees took Peter and John in prison and they brought him out the following day and they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. And now they come, this crunch. And he says, are you going away from me? Just like these others who have gone away from me, are you going to go away from me? No, we cannot. You are the words of eternal life. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. How can we go away? Is that you tonight? Can you say that in your heart? I can't go away from you. Because you have the words of eternal life. Do you know him in this real and living way? Has God opened to you the truths of his word? Have you come to realize that Jesus is everything? That he died on that cross to save you from your sins. Impetuous Peter. Yet he speaks on behalf of the others. And Jesus says, did I not choose the 12? And one of you is the devil. My friends, tonight, don't be the devil. Don't be the one who turns your back on the Savior. You know, things do not seem to be going so well in our land these days. But there is hope. Why? A survey was done. Now, Pastor told us a few weeks ago, a survey was done in 2014 of people that were in the age of 18 to 24 and asking them, how many times in a month did you go to church? 14% said that they went to church at least once in a month. And they did the survey just last year, and that had risen to 14%. There's encouragement. Why? Because we have a risen, triumphant Saviour. He's not going to give people away to the devil. He's not allowing them to depart from the way of truth. He's going to open to them the way of salvation. He's going to open their blind eyes to see, their deaf ears to hear, and their stony, hard hearts to soften, to receive him as Lord and Saviour. Yes, who do you say Jesus is tonight? Is he your Lord? Is he your Christ? Or is he someone else? Just a good person? Just a miracle-working person? And some people will believe that. They'll say, oh yes, we believe that Jesus was a good person. We believe he lived and he was a good person. He did many miracles, yes, mighty miracles. But the Son of God, no, don't believe it. Don't be like that. There's people turning their backs on Jesus. He's offered them eternal life and they've said no to it. He's offered himself to them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And they've rejected it. They've turned their back on Jesus. He's just another good person. He's not the Son of God. He's not the Christ, the one who has eternal life and willing to give to people who trust in him. He also knows who truly belongs to him. Yes, he knows you intimately, better than you know yourself. And why is that? Because he created you. He brought you into existence. As we talked to the children this morning, we said about stars and how there are so many billions of stars in the sky and how they shine. And how they shine because Jesus created them. He created them all. And here he is. He's asking these disciples, are you going away from me too? No, says Peter, we can't, because you have the words of eternal life. Is that you tonight? Can you truly say that you know him whom to know is life eternal? Remember what Jesus says about the one who betrays him. You know, they are absolutely unbelievable words. Horrible words. This is what it says in Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 26 and verse 24. This is what it says there. Listen to what it says. Verse 24. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it has been written of him. But woe to that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. You know, I think those are the most horrible words, the most abominable words, the most disgusting words that you could hear of someone. And Jesus says this of Judas and of people who reject him, turn from him, as if he was not born. You know, when you were born, your parents loved you. You were a miracle. You came into this world and they loved you. They nourished you. They fed you. They looked after you. They cared for you with love. And Jesus says, that's what I want to do with you. You are my child. I gave my life for you. I came into this world to do that work that no other could ever do for you. He who knew no sin, he became our sin, that we might know the righteousness of God. Oh, we praise God that he came and did that tremendous work for us that no other could ever do. Tonight, is that you? Have you come to that position where you realize that you need him in your life? Perhaps you have. Perhaps you're saying tonight, yes, I know him, I love him, I want to be his servant, I want to be his son, I want to follow him all the days of my life. And he will encourage you and strengthen you and he'll live with you. Don't reject Christ. The world has turned its back on Christ. They'll tell you anything and everything, a lie that will turn you away from God. But don't. Jesus speaks here of eternal life. And he's saying it in church. He's saying it in the synagogue, in Capernaum. Therefore, when they heard these things, many of his disciples said, this saying is hard. We cannot understand it. Oh, we pray that God would open the hearts, the minds, the thinking, the understanding of his word to people in our generation, in our land. Our land is far from God. When even our so-called church, Welsh Church of England, Archbishop is a practicing lesbian. Where have we got from? Many from the African and Asian countries are turning their backs on the Church of England because of what they are doing. And even in our own land, pray for that woman. Pray that she'll be turned from her wicked ways. Turn that she might know Christ in the true and living way. Here are these, they turned away from God. They followed him no more. And he turns and says to his disciples, are you going the same way? Are you going to follow them? No, says Peter. We want to follow you. You are the Lord. You have the words of eternal life. Don't let Satan get into your life. Allow the Lord by the Holy Spirit to guard and guide you and keep you close to himself. Speak unto the Lord. Allow him into your life. Allow him to rule and reign within. Because we can't do it ourselves. We have a sign here in the pulpit. It speaks to us clearly. Without me, he can do nothing. And that's true in our life. We can't do anything unless we allow Jesus Christ to have full sway in our life. Yes, we may look at further on and we see Peter denying that he knows the Lord. But he goes away and he weeps because of it. He's let the Lord down. But oh, look what happened to him. On the day of Pentecost in particular, he is on fire for the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come into his life and has led him and leads him and guides him. And he preaches the word of God faithfully. You look at that sermon on the day of Pentecost. Not a very long sermon. But boy, 3,000 added into the kingdom. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking through that word unto the people. Pray that God would speak to our nation through his word. Pray that God's word would come real into the hearts and lives of the people, that they might turn and seek him and know him as their own personal savior. To reject Jesus is to turn from him and say, I don't want you. I'll go my own way. This is why I hate that hymn or that song of Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. We can't say that. We can't come to Christ. We can't come to God our own way. Even if we try from year to eternity and beyond, we will always fail. But we must come as Peter, humbly, in a sense, falling before the cross and saying, "You have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Is that you tonight? Oh, I pray to God that it is, that you know him in this real and living way. And you know, wonder of wonders, he'll take you, he'll hold you, he'll love you, he'll care for you, and he will bring you into eternal life. Father, I pray that where I am, those who know me and love me will be with me, that they may behold my glory, which I had with you before the world was. That promise is faithful and true to all believers. You tonight, who believe in him, whether you reach tomorrow or whether you reach 100 years, he'll be with you, and that promise is sure and will never be let go. It is true. We have a loving, caring Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. That's a promise from God. And it's yours as you put your faith and trust in Jesus. May God help us to know him in this real and living way, day by day, that we might say to him, "Here's my life, Lord. Take it and use it as you will, as you want, in your perfect will and in your perfect timing." So may God bless us. May he encourage us and strengthen us. May his words speak to our hearts and lives and allow him to have that preeminence in our life, that it's by the Holy Spirit might permeate into every part of our being, that we might stand firm for him whom to know is indeed life eternal. May God help us to know this, to believe it, and to trust him, and to accept him, and to live for him day by day. For his name's sake, amen.